Would like to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning and welcome you to visit us at Galapagos sometime. Galapagos, it gets said quite different ways sometimes, it doesn't really matter. But I trust that we can worship the Lord together and greet you in His name and invite you to come visit us there and worship with us there. Thomas Schrock, I guess, is the other visiting minister. And Ernie didn't agree with me that we should trade. But I'm going to ask him to close with prayer then after the message. Appreciate the service so far. And in the devotions, it was just in passing, mentioned something about serving others as part of the Christian life. And I guess the message the Lord led me to bring to you all this morning is just an extension of that. Of serving others. And you can turn your Bibles to James chapter 5, verse 16. It's a very short, I'm just going to pick out just a short phrase from that verse, and that's going to be my title this morning. I'm going to read the verse here, James 5. Just a short phrase is what I'm going to preach, is that what I'm going to speak on. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the phrase I would like to pick out this morning is the phrase, pray one for another. Just a short phrase. But yet it is very, it is a responsibility that lands squarely on each one of our shoulders. Intercessory prayer is something that is very needful in the brotherhood, and it's something that I feel that I could, in my own life, could improve in quite a bit. To be willing to pray for others, to think about others enough, to care about others enough, to spend time and pray for them. That's not the only prayers we pray. We of course pray, and here's another challenge I would like to leave with you all. And I've been challenged recently by another brother about, in our prayers, to praise and worship God for who He is. And I've been blessed, as I have tried to do that in my life, to, in my prayers, to praise God for who He is and in that way worship Him. And, you know, our tendency so often is to just to start praying for self. My needs, my family, my work day that's planned, the issues that are facing me. That's our normal tendency. But as we start our prayers by praising God, it gets focused off of self, and then we should follow with praying for others and praying for the issues that others are facing, praying for the struggles that they're facing, praying for the hardships that might be overwhelming them. And that takes time. And it's not easy to do sometimes, especially when you're not sure really what the issue is. You're not sure what they're struggling with. You can just sense that your brother or your sister is struggling with something, and you're not sure what to pray for. It takes time. Pray for others. As we go through the day, and you know, sometimes our minds are relaxed and we're just doing the Monday things or whatever your job consists of, and our mind begins to wander a little bit, let's develop the spirit of prayer, that while we are not absorbed with our work, that we can pray for others as we meditate, especially when a certain person comes to your mind. Pray for them. You might not know why the Spirit led you to pray for them, but pray for them. They might be facing something that is beyond their control, and they need God's help. The question is, are we willing to pray for one another? In Samuel 12, we have Samuel the prophet was talking to the Israelites about their wanting a king, and we all know that story, I believe. Where they had desired a king to be like the other nations, and they asked the people there in Samuel 12 came to Samuel, and they said in verse 19, they said, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And I like Samuel's response to that in verse 23. Part of his response anyway is, moreover as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and right way. Samuel said it would be a sin for him not to pray for his fellow brethren. And I think it is also the same for us today. If we refuse or neglect, is probably maybe quicker our tendency, If we neglect to pray for our brethren, then I believe that we have a responsibility that we have not fulfilled. If we have a responsibility, do we sense our responsibility that we have to our brethren, that we're called to pray for them and pray with them and those around us? And I think Paul was a very good example of that. As he, I'm always blessed with his life, as he traveled across the part of the world then, probably most of the then known world, he remembered his brethren that he had met in different areas. And in Timothy, he says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. That's talking to Timothy. He prayed for him continually. In Ephesians, he says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He prayed for his brethren. So I was studying. This thought came across my mind. Why is it a God who knows everything, who knows what a brother or sister is struggling with better than what we do? He perfectly understands what is best for that brother. Why does he want us to pray for them? God knows the issue. God knows what the problem is. Why does he want us to intercede for him? And there's a couple reasons, I believe, and we'll look at some of those later. This morning, I would like to look at some examples of intercessory prayer, look at the challenge for us to pray for others, and then what it does for both us and them, and also who we should pray for and how. So I trust it does not get too long, too late. Some examples. Moses prayed many times for the children of Israel. And one time was right after they had made that golden calf. In Psalm 106:23, he said, wherefore he said that he would destroy them, talking about God. Had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Why don't we turn to that? Exodus 32. We're just going to read a couple verses here. Moses is another exceptional man, and there's much that we can learn from his life. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt hath corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against that people which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt, which with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land I have spoken of will I give unto thy seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And we see Moses interceding for his people. Verse 31. We see some more, a continuation of his prayer. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me out, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against him will I blot out of my book. Moses, as a leader, was interceding for his people, and he did that many times. And I think as we read these verses, we can feel his love and his care for his brethren, to the point that he says, I'm willing to suffer for them. Another example we have is Abraham and his prayer to God to save the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah for Lot's sake. Abraham could have had the idea, Lot, you made some choices, and you're going to have to suffer for them. You made some choices, and now it's beyond my help to... I can't help you. But that didn't keep Abraham from trying. And we know that Abraham went different times back to God and said, could you not please save the city? There's 45, 30, 35, you know, just kept on going down. And I wonder, I know this is speculation, we don't know the mind of God, but I wonder if one reason that God did not send angels to the city to get Lot, and they literally almost had to drag him out of the city, I wonder if that wasn't because of Abraham's intercession. We also have Job and his praying for his three friends. He calls them miserable comforters, but Job 42 verse 10 really stood out to me as I was studying. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. The friends that had mistreated him. The friends that had caused him more grief than what they called gave him sympathy for. And yet, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Nehemiah is another example. When the children of Israel were in captivity, he prayed for them. We have Ezra praying for his brethren when they had the issue of the marrying strange wives. And it's interesting to read their prayers. And if you need to sometime and need something to read, just read their prayers. You can feel the love and the concern that they had for each other, especially those that were in the wrong. And then we have Jesus. Perfect example, one that prayed for others. I think he prayed for his disciples and he prayed for us too today. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 17. And I think I'm going to take the time to read this and just allow these words to speak to you. Jesus was praying for each one of us here this morning. Let's begin verse 1 with his prayer. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me in thine own self with the glory which I have had with thee before the world was. Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they are, thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I am come from thee, and thou didst believe that. And they did believe that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more of the world, but these are in the world. I am come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither prayer for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. And that, I believe, is the verse it's talking about us today. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known me, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus was interceding for his disciples. He He's interceding for us, and he is still interceding for us today. And I think we have an example there that we can follow as we relate to others, as we relate to our brethren, as we relate to the world around us, that we need to pray, intercede for them. As our Lord has prayed for us, we must also pray for our brethren. Jesus, in his life on earth, we see him praying multiple times for others. And we can see his love, and we can see his concern for those that are around, for those that were around him. And I think we must also look beyond ourselves and our families and look around us and see the needs around us. Are we interested in others and their lives? And I'm blessed by those that can just do that. It seems like it's almost second nature to them. They can sense when you're struggling. They can sense when you're facing something difficult. And I wish I could cultivate that in my own life. But maybe it's too much that I care too much about myself. Do I really care about those around me? Do I care enough to pray? We have 2 Timothy 2:1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Ephesians 6:8, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're commanded to pray for others. The Christian life is not a selfish or a self-centered life. But we need to, in our Christian walk, follow our Lord's example of love and care and concern for those around us. We need to make sure that we're not praying the self-centered prayer like the Pharisee did there that Jesus gave the example of in Luke 18. He said, I thank God that I'm not like others. I thank God that I'm not like those that are around me that live wickedly, but I do good for you and I fast and pray. He couldn't see past himself. Do we pray prayers like that? That all we're concerned about is ourselves and how good we are. We're commanded to pray for others. And we must pray for others. Because even the strongest arms grow weak at times if they're extended for a long time. I had to think of Moses on the mountaintop during that one battle, and we have Aaron and Hur standing there beside him. And they were the support that Moses needed to keep his hands raised up. We know how that story goes, where as long as Moses kept his hands in the air, the people in the valley, the army, the Israelites prevailed. But Moses couldn't keep his hands up all the time, and he needed help. And it's the same for our brethren. Even the strongest arms sometimes become heavy if they're extended for a long time. You know, the brother or sister that always seems upbeat and always seems strong and it seems like they have it figured out and they don't even barely have any struggles in their life, it seems like. And you think they're the ones that don't even face any discouragement, and they just have it together and trust in the Lord for all their strength. There's times that they need help. There's times that they need to have you stand there beside them. Are we standing by their side? Are there people in the valley that are going to suffer and that are not going to be able to win because their leader's arms got too heavy and there was none to hold up his hands, to hold up his arms? I think we have a responsibility to stand beside our brethren, even the strong ones. And I'm going to give a challenge to you as a congregation here. Pray for your leaders. You know, it's so easy to become critical, and it's so easy to become judgmental and focus on their shortcomings. But have you prayed for them? Have you asked God to give them the strength that they need? Pray for the one that's preaching in the Sunday morning. Pray for your ministry as they gather for ministers' meeting. Pray for your Sunday school teachers, the ones that lead out. It is the work of the Church of Christ. We are in this together, and it is a part of working together. We need to pray for each other. Number 5, how many times have you ever got weary of praying for others? As you think about all the people that are struggling here, they're struggling here, there's babies in the hospital, there's children that are abused in the neighborhood, and you think about all those people that have special needs, and you get weary. because it takes time to pray for others. Jesus prayed all night long. How many of you ever have? I never have. There's times that I was up at night, but I have never been up all night long just praying. Jesus did. He did not give up. And I'm not sure who all was on his prayer list, but I know that Jesus had many on his prayer list. And if we pray every day for everyone that we know that needs help, it's going to become burdensome. But I guess prayer is hard work. Prayer is an important work. And I know for myself, I could strive a little longer. You know, we might have to divide our prayer list a little bit so that we can pray. But let's not neglect the Spirit's leading. If somebody's not on your prayer list today and they come to your mind, pray for them anyway. Too many times we're too rushed and we don't take the time to pray for others as we should. And sometimes God slows us down. And there's a short story that I was just reading recently about a Norwegian man. And he had some very severe physical disabilities, and he was not able to work. He was not able to earn his living. But as time went on, people learned to know him as a man that they could go to for counsel. And those that took care of him would tell others how he prays for the community, how he would pray for each one that was in the community and pray for them by name. He prayed for the babies that he had never met, the little ones that were just born. He would pray for the youth, and he would just pray for them. He couldn't do much else. And sometimes we look at that as maybe a low, lowly task. If you can't do anything but pray for others. But that man was a blessing to the community. And may we take an example from that. What are the benefits of praying for others? First of all, I would like to look at the benefits for ourselves as we pray. It helps us to recognize our own weakness or our dependency upon God. We know that a friend or a brother is struggling, and there may be ways that we try to help, yet in the end we realize that the only way that we can really help is by beseeching God to meet their needs. God knows what they are facing, and sometimes they're facing something that we have no idea what it is, or what we have never faced anything similar. And so we don't even understand their frustrations and their fears. But God does. He made man, and he knows our shortnesses, our shortcomings. He knows our frame, it says in Psalms. And we can call on God to help our brother. We don't know sometimes how to help. And we're bewildered on what we can do to help, or what the best way is to help. Take it to God. It helps us to realize how weak we are. It helps us to depend upon God. Romans 8:26-28. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Intercessory prayer also helps us to remember whose battle it really is. The battle is between God and Satan. And we must realize that the only true strength, whether for ourselves or those around us, is only by turning to God. The fight is between God and Satan. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. If we're going to try on our own to fight this battle, whether it's our own battle or a friend's battle, we're going to fail. We must turn to God for victory. Intercessory prayer also strengthens our love for each other. It helps us to focus on others instead of our own carnal, selfish desires. And I already mentioned that. When we pray for others, when we truly care for them, when we love them as Christ love them, then we can show, then that love will reach out. We're going to be concerned for their well-being. Our love for them is going to deepen as we join in the battle with them, as we share in their failures and in their victories. Intercessory prayer also draws us together because we're striving for the same goal. We're working together in the body of Christ. We're not in this Christian walk together. There's others that are striving toward the goal. And as we pray for each other, I think there's a mutual bond that draws us together. Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and all the people in the valley, they were all fighting the same battle. Some were in the valley and some were in the mountaintop. But they were striving together. They had the same goal. They wanted victory. Both were needed. If you feel that you're the one on the mountaintop and that you are not involved in the battle, you would like to be down there but can't because of maybe it's physical issues. Well, you can remember those that are in the valley, those that are in the thick of the fight, those that need your prayers, and it can help you on to victory. Benefits for others. I think it's an encouragement to them as they realize that there are others praying for them. Paul was strengthened in his faith as he knew that others were praying for them in Ephesians 6, verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He was encouraged when he knew that others were praying for them. And we need to let others know that we're praying for them. Send them a text. Give them a call. Talk to them in person. Tell them, I'm praying for you today. Let them know that you thought of them today. I wonder how many times during the day when Joshua was down in that valley and he was fighting and he was in the heat of the battle, how many times did he look up to the mountaintop to see if Moses was still up there? And how many times are there people that need to be told that we're praying for you? We understand that you're struggling. We love you. We care about you. Tell others. It also benefits others as God answers our prayer to his glory and works in their life. God will never force one against his own will. He must want the power of God. But we never know what our prayers might do. Back to Abraham and Lot. And we have Abraham beseeching God to save the cities. And what do you think Abraham did the next morning? Probably the same thing each one of us would have done. Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward the land and the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. What do you think went through Abraham's mind? As he stood there looking and seeing the city burn, I'm positive that he probably in his mind realized the city, well, he knew the city was burned, and he probably thought Lot was too. Maybe he doubted, why did he even try to get God to change his mind? He might have doubted the time he spent in prayer. And how many times have we doubted that our prayers have done any good? We prayed and prayed for this person. And yet Lot was safe. Lot was not in the city. And I believe it was because of Abraham's prayer. We may never know how far our prayers for others will go. We may never find out why we felt the need to pray for a certain brother. Let's be faithful. Who should we pray for? Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy 2. First Timothy chapter 2, first four verses. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Right here we have a couple of people we're supposed to pray for all men, first of all. All men. Why? That they would be saved. I think that needs to be the first and foremost thing that we pray for others in their struggles. That all men would come to know him. Do we really care? Do we really believe that God someday will judge this world? And are we concerned that there are those that are not ready? It says we're supposed to pray for kings. And that might be difficult if we have a president, in our terminology today, that is not doing what he should or she should. And we become disillusioned with their leadership. We must pray for them. Pray for those that are in government. Remember that God placed them there. Pray for those that are in authority. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18, it says, persevere in supplication for a watch. I'm sorry, let me read the whole verse. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. And I already mentioned this. But let's pray for our Sunday school teachers. Let's pray for our devotional leaders Sunday morning, Wednesday evening. Let's pray for the special meetings when they're being held. Do we take time to pray for the speaker? Weekend meetings, revival meetings. It was mentioned that Joe is having revival meetings. Pray for him. We need to pray for our fellow countrymen, our neighbors. Most times we become pretty relaxed in relating to our neighbors, and we have a relationship but do we have their souls in our hearts? We have work for us to do. Pray for the missionaries and those that are out in the mission field and working in a foreign land. Pray for them. Matthew 5, verse 44 gives us one that's probably hard for us to pray for. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for those that are treating us wrongly. Pray for friends that seem to have turned against us. And that maybe is a hard one. We have example in Job doing that. And Paul also experienced that one time. In 2 Timothy 4, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray that God would not lay it to their charge. It's really difficult. When we think those that should be holding us up and should be encouraging us seem to have turned against us. Pray for them. Pray for the sick. Pray for our friends and family that's scattered. Pray for those that are in prison. Pray for those that are serving elsewhere. You know, I think sometimes loneliness and homesickness could affect their work. Let's pray for them. Pray for our youth, our children, the elderly, those that are in the middle of raising their families, the persecuted. And it might seem like maybe that prayer is futile. We don't know these people. Maybe you do know some personally. But usually when we pray for those Christians in China that are suffering, or those in Iraq that are suffering, or Iran, we don't know a particular person. But we need to pray for them. Lift them up to the throne of grace. We might not know, but that they are facing a trial right now, that one needs help, God's help. Pray for those that are searching. Pray for those that have known the truth and have left it. They have fallen out by the way. It's been tough. It's been hard. And they gave up. Pray for those that have lost loved ones. Let's allow the Spirit to lead us as we pray for others. And I think right along with that, let's not hesitate to ask our brethren to pray for us. If we're particularly facing a particular difficult situation. How should we pray? The first point I have is specifically by name, just like that fellow, that Norwegian that I mentioned. He would pray specifically for those. You know, we tend to kind of get efficient at praying for others. We pray for those in Patriot, Ohio, and we pray for those in Strawberry, Arkansas, and we pray for the ones around us and our neighbors in the church, and we're finished. We covered them, didn't we? Let's pray by name. Let's pray by need. There's a story that's told of a missionary that was heading to another country, and he went around and visiting his the ones at church, his friends, And he came to an old lady's house, and she, as he was getting ready to leave, she said, "I'm going to pray that you do not get the fever, the yellow fever, or whatever fever it was, because so many of the missionaries that went to that country would get that. And that sickness would hinder their work, and some had to sometimes come home." And she said, "I'm going to pray that you don't get that fever." And I'm not sure how many years that missionary was in that country, but he never got it. Praise God. Let's not be afraid to be specific in our prayers. You know, we pray for the school and the school board, but let's pray specifically. If we know that they're facing a situation that is difficult, pray for the teachers and the students. But if you know they have a test today, pray for them in specifically. Pray for those that you meet. It's in our nature, as we meet people, those that we meet, or even those that we don't, even those that we meet, those that we know, and those that we don't know, we tend to kind of categorize them according to the way they're dressed. Maybe they're all covered in tattoos and look hard. We tend to be pretty judgmental of them as we meet people like that. Why don't we develop a new nature or a new habit? And I'm speaking to myself. Instead of thinking critical thoughts, let's pray for them. I have room to grow in this. There's developing the habit of prayer that I think we need to be encouraged in. I know one that whenever he would see an ambulance or a fire truck go tearing down the road, he would pray for those that were involved. That's the spirit of prayer that I would like to improve in. Let's pray for those that we meet. Pray regularly, daily, for others. Philippians 1, 7 and 8, "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ." We have Paul here. When he wrote this, he was in prison. And he was hindered in his work, he could have said. But yet he was willing to pray for them, right? Where he was in prison. Pray for others wherever you're at. If you're driving down the road and think of a friend, pray for them. Paul said, "I have you in my heart." And I think as we develop that in our own lives, we have others in our heart, then that love and concern for them is going to be reflected in our prayer life. Paul did what he could. And yet he was limited in what he could do, and yet he did that faithfully. There's times that we may be... The only thing that we can do for somebody is pray, but let's do so fervently. Let's persevere in our prayers. As I was thinking about Abraham and his prayer for Sodom and Gomorrah, how many times did he come back to God, and it didn't seem like it was making a difference? Or it didn't make a difference? Yeah, we need to, in our prayers, intercede diligently, faithfully, fervently. Persevere. Pray without ceasing. I appreciate, and I'm sure it's also happens here too, but there's names that keep coming up in prayer meeting when you take prayer requests, if you do. The same names sometimes keep coming up, and you think, is it really worth it? And yet, pray without ceasing. Point number 6, be open to God's will. His way is higher than our way. Remember to pray that God's will would be done, that his name would be glorified. You know, the solution to the problem might be, in our minds, might be ever so clear. We know what God needs to do. And while I don't think it's wrong to pray specifically, we need to be also committed that God's will would be done. We will never try to force our own will above the will of God. Be open to God's will. And don't be partial in your prayers. Love for all saints, for all men. That brother or sister that you have a hard time knowing how to relate to, maybe they even rub you the wrong way, pray for them. Pray for them. If you pray with an open heart, God can sometimes work in your heart because we're the issue. Pray that God, that we would, let's pray for those that rub us the wrong way. And also, let's not have a better than now attitude in our prayers. remember Isaiah's prayer in Isaiah 9, verse 6. He said, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grow unto the heavens." Here Ezra was praying. He had not been involved in this sin, had he? He had not committed this evil, and yet he included himself with the people. We cannot have a better than thou attitude as we pray for others. If we feel that we have attained, and that if they would eventually make it up to our level, then we're praying. Is our prayer going to be valid? Is God going to hear self-righteous prayer? We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As we pray for others, we must cry with them and feel for them. And then we can maybe rejoice with them in their victories and as their prayers are answered. Pray one for another. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Brother Thomas, would you lead us?